Good morning, church. So are you glad to be here this morning? Be honest, how many of you are like, man, I totally don't want to get out of this warm, comfortable bed and go out there in the cold, because how cold is it? It's really cold. It's really cold. And so, I mean, I was the same way, but, you know, I'm always glad to be able to get up and get the day going. And then when I get here and we get to engage in worship and we get to open the word and teach and get to spend a little time with your smiling faces, hint, hint. It's always good to be in God's house. Amen? So thank y'all for braving the cold. Thank you for getting out and joining us today. It is good, and my hope and my prayer is that it's not a wasted time for you, that you'll say, you know what, I totally needed to be there today. And so thank you for being here. And as he said, turn to James chapter 1. We began a series last week just going through the book of James, a book that is not theological, it's not a doctrinal book, it's just simply a practical book. A practical book on just what faith every day looks like, everyday faith. And James, the half-brother of Jesus, shares this, and I believe it's relevant to today. And the reason I think it's relevant to today is because we still struggle like the first century Christians did in their day with trials, with hardships, with difficult seasons in life. And James's heart, you can just see the heart of a pastor here where he's concerned that these guys are going to buckle under the pressure of the trials, the temptations, and the hardships, and they're going to become bitter. Do we struggle sometimes as Christians to not become bitter when we experience hardships in life? That was James's concern. Or maybe disunity, it causes division, or maybe just spiritual apathy. That's the one that I'm feeling overall in our world today in the Christian church, is just spiritual apathy. Just like, I'm here, I'm going through the motions, but how many know God wants so much more than that? And how many know He's worthy of so much more than that? All right, for three of you, hopefully by the end of this, another 10 of 12 of you would join me in agreeing that, I mean, it's not, we don't just show up to waste time. I don't want to waste your time, and I just certainly don't want to waste God's time. And so I'm glad to be here, and I always, when we join together, want Him to speak to us, and I want to be changed because His word is powerful like that. So with that being said, James chapter 1, I'm going to read from verses 19 to verse 27. Pray one more time, and we're going to jump right into it. So, James chapter 1, if you're ready, say ready. Ready. All right, verse 19. Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires. So get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives, and humbly accept the word God has planted in your hearts, for it is the power to save your souls. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey it, it's like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, you walk away, and you forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. If you claim to be religious but don't control your tongue, you're fooling yourself and your religion is worthless. Pure and genuine religion in the sight of God the Father means caring for orphans and widows in their distress and refusing to let the world corrupt you. Let's pray. Father, this is your word. We pray that today we would be moved by your word, not just gaining information, but be challenged. I'm convicted in your word to take you at your word, as we sang a few moments ago, not only to take you at your word for when it comes to promises, but take you at your word as authority that we might be able to apply its truths in our personal context, in our lives, Lord, that we would honor you and glorify you in everything that we do and we say, and we ask it in Jesus' name, amen. So, as I said, it's this title of the series is Everyday Faith, and the idea is this faith goes beyond just the big moments in life. It goes beyond just when I'm in trouble and I need to rouse up some big faith. This is a faith that just goes with us every day of the week, Monday through Sunday, and that's the heart of James as he's trying to get his readers, the first century church, to understand the importance of faith in their lives, that faith is active, it works. And so today, the title of the message is Faith That Obeys. Last week, we looked at faith that endures. And what we saw last week is when we encounter these trials, we understand that trials grow us, The potential that is there for us to be grown because of the trials. And so he says, you should consider it joy when you encounter trials, because trials grow us. But we know that God's wisdom guides us. And if we're struggling, we can say, God, I just don't understand. Will you give me wisdom? And it guides us through that season of trial and testing. And we also know that our perspective, having the right perspective, is like grounding us. It gives us a solid foundation for which we stand on when we're going through the trials and temptations. And then lastly, we are patient, and we know that when we're patient, it rewards us, because we know that this world is not the end. One day we'll be in the presence of God, and I promise you, at that moment, it'll all make sense, and we'll look back on this life and say, the things that I didn't understand don't even matter to me anymore, because it's worth it to be in the presence of God, the one that made it all possible for me. Can I get an amen? Amen. So I want you to consider for a moment the power of response. So imagine for a moment that you go to your doctor, and your doctor has taken some tests. He's wanting to look at your lab work and see how things are going. And so you're back for the follow-up visit, and your doctor, you're just waiting for them to come into the room. The doctor comes into the room, got a serious look on his or her face. They sit down and they look you in the eye and they say, all right, here is what we've learned from your lab work. Here is the diagnosis. But also, I mean, I know what the problem is, but I want to give you a clear set of instructions and a protocol that if you'll follow these instructions, you're going to get well. You'll overcome this, whatever it is that you're waiting for this test. Can I ask you a question? What will you do with that information? Do you smile at the doctor? Nod your head in agreement, like what you're saying is absolutely true, but you walk out of his office and do the absolute opposite thing of what he told you to do? Would you walk out and just completely ignore it? Of course not. Why? Because you want to receive the healing or to get healthy again based on what your doctor that you trust is giving you as a protocol. He's like, man, I trust him. He's the doctor. He's given me a path forward to healing and to feeling better. And so I want to take what he's told me to do and put it into practice. If you think about it, God's word is a lot like that diagnosis. When we look at God's word has this ability to show us things that are not right. Hey, like, this is an area of your life, it's unhealthy. He reveals that to us. He diagnoses, but he also gives us a path towards transformation, towards healing, towards being who God's called us to be. And the same thing is true, is that God, like the physician, gives us his word, and his word is powerful, right? So here's the big question. How do we respond to his word? How do we respond to the word of God? Hearing the truth is not enough. Amen? It's like it's not about how much we hear it or what we can recite it, quote it. You could have the Bible on repeat in your ear all the time in your headphones. It's not about how much you hear the word, but it's what you do with it. So just like ignoring the doctor's advice can lead to greater problems, ignoring and failing to act on what God reveals to us can lead to stagnation and spiritual struggle. And so that's kind of where James is at today in this passage. He's challenging us to examine our response to God's word. That is, how do we respond to what God tells us in his word? And so ultimately, I believe the key to enduring trials, the key to resisting temptation, and the key to spiritual growth all hinges on how we react on a daily basis with God's word. And so for a few moments, I would like for us to consider three essential reactions to God's word. We're going to look at receptivity. Say receptivity. And that is how we accept, will we humbly accept God's word and what he's saying? Responsiveness. Say responsiveness. That is, will we act on what God has revealed to us? And lastly, resignation. Say that one. It's an important one, because for that is, will we fully submit to the word's authority in our lives? And so let's dive into that for a few moments and discover that faith, this everyday faith, as James is speaking about, it's a faith that obeys, not just in the big moments of life, but in everyday rhythm of life. But first, let me ask the question, why? What's the big deal? Well, can I tell you that my conviction of this book that I'm holding in my hand is, it's not just a book. I mean, there's some history in it. You can learn some history by reading the Bible, but it's so much more than a history book, amen? I'm told that it is alive. It's active. It's like a double-edged sword. It's got the power to absolutely transform your life. This is a powerful book. And so when God speaks, he has spoken to us through his word. He's revealed his word through Jesus. Jesus is the ultimate word. And so when God speaks to us, we should listen to what he has to say. Now, there are a lot of books on shelves at libraries. We can go grab a history book and we can gain information. And that history book will not demand of us anything in return. It's like, I don't expect anything. I'm just going to give you information. You can read a science book. You can read the latest novel, and that novel might give you information. It might be thrilling to read, but it's not going to demand anything of you. There are no imperatives or commands from a scientific book that tells you what you have to do, but God's word is different. God's word is powerful. It's not just information, but he promises transformation. His word is powerful in that when we read it, he expects us to be conformed to his word. Do you see why James was passionate about, hey, listen, it's not about what you know, it's about what you do with what you know. So this faith, this everyday faith, is a faith that obeys. So let's look at that again. Look at and consider the receptivity of the word. Verse 19, understand this, my dear brothers and sisters, you must be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Now, verse 21, this is the key to this area. So get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives and humbly accept, that's the receptivity, humbly accept the word God has planted in your hearts, for it has the power to save your souls. So humbly accept the implanted word. Now, immediately think of Jesus' teaching. James is the half-brother of Jesus, and so many scholars will say that the whole total of his letter in James is basically just remembering the teachings of his half-brother Jesus, like the Sermon on the Mount, his parable of the farmer that scattered the seed. That's what comes to mind immediately about the implanted word that we are to accept. Some say that he really focused on the first like nine proverbs. We see that working through the book of James. And so he says that when it comes to the word, God's transforming and powerful word, that we need to be receptive of it. We need to receive it. Imagine for a moment that you're going to plant a garden, and then it's an area of soil that you've never touched before. There's weeds, there's rocks, there's random junk just kind of buried in the dirt. What do? We prepare the soil so that it will accept the seed. It will receive the seed because we want to produce a crop. Amen? And so we get on our knees, maybe we remove the rocks, we clean it up, we pull the weeds, we till or turn over the soil, because the whole idea is we're readying the soil to receive the word. So what James is saying, when it comes to God's word and this everyday faith, this faith that obeys, we must be willing to be ready and quick to receive what God has shared with us through his word. And so in order for that to happen, we have to look back at verses 19 and 20. And I've always preached this message, and I think it's good both ways, or right both ways, but I've looked at it from the angle of just our actions or attitude toward people in general. And how many of you know it'd be good for us to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry, right? But if you look at it in context, James has already been talking about the trials and the temptations and the testing and all that. And in verse 18, he says he chose to give birth to us by giving us his true word. And we, out of all of creation, became his prized possession. And so God is speaking to us. He's given us his word. And he says in that context, understand this, my dear brothers and sisters, you must all be quick to listen. Listen to what? I mean, you believe it could mean his word as well. We should be quick to listen to what God is saying to us. And so what does it look like in the context of preaching? If we're hearing the word of God, we're asking God, give me ears to hear, give me a readiness spirit, willing to receive what you have for me today. And so I need to be quick to listen, slow to speak. In this context of hearing God's word, and I'm guilty of this, some of us know what we believe. We're passionate about what we believe. And so when someone else is throwing some idea out there, we're real quick to step up and go, actually, and we just start debating, right? I'm sorry, it's just the way God wired me, but I'm pretty passionate sometimes. But I'm always trying to be careful that when I do that, I'm courteous to the person who I might be disagreeing with theologically. I've had some really great debates over the years with friends that completely disagree on certain things, and I can say, man, I see where you're coming from, and I'm hearing what you're saying. But have you considered this? And I can usually turn it back around. And that's what I think he's saying here is like, we should be quick to listen to God's word. We should be slow to speak. And this one's an important one, slow to get angry. Now, we can get angry when we hear something in God's word that we don't like. Preacher, you're meddling, right? In this church, they say, are you following me around? Because I swear you're always preaching about stuff that I dealt with this week. I'm like, no, I got people for that. No, the reality is as God puts this stuff on our hearts, we preach it, and that's just the power of God's word. It's alive. It's active, right? And so sometimes we hear something that we don't like because we're engaged in something we shouldn't be engaged in. We're walking in disobedience, and God's word reveals this like a diagnosis. Hey, you're sick here. This is what you need to do. And we're like, I don't want to hear that. And so we are quick to get angry, or someone else is teaching something. We may not agree with it. I think it's a great reminder for us to pump the brakes. Because how many know God can teach us through other people? Even people we disagree with. Some of the things that I'm the most passionate and solid in my faith on today came from a disagreement I had with someone else theologically. Because it caused me to go back to the Word and dig. It caused me to go back and say, what do I really believe about this? And I'm grateful for those because they challenge me. My Bible says iron sharpens iron. And so when it comes to hearing the Word of God and the Word of God that's planted in our lives, we should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Why? Because anger does not bring about the righteous life that God requires. God wants us to grow in our faith. He's calling us to righteousness. He said, when you reject the word of God, either you're not quickly to listen or you're not slow to speak, or if you get angry anytime God's word is presented, then essentially what you're doing is you're blocking, you're not receiving. So we're talking about the receptivity of the word. You're not receiving it, but you're actually rejecting it. And so James is saying, like, the first thing we need to understand is an essential part of reacting to God's word is that it's this receptivity. We receive humbly the word that God has placed in our hearts. And so let me ask you the question, what distractions, what sins or attitudes are keeping you from receiving God's word? Because if you think about it, we're pretty distracted, aren't we? I know I need to get into my Bible. I know there's things that I've heard before that I probably should consider and look at, but I'm distracted right now with job, with fun, with people, and I just don't have time for that. So whether I'm distracted from it, or whether it's a sin that I know, I just know. You don't need to tell me. I know that what I'm doing is sin, right? I know it's there. I know what God's word says about that, but I really don't want to hear it right now. It's the same as rejecting his word. And so we're to be receptive to his word. The first thing we need to do is receive. Say again, receive. So when we hear God's word, as Christians, are we willing to receive it? Like that firm soil or that fertile soil, ready to receive God's word. So let's consider that. Secondly, let's consider another essential reaction to the word is responsiveness. Say responsiveness again. What does that mean? Respond. Like, how do we respond? So we're to receive the word of God, but now when we receive it, we're to act on what we receive. And so what does that look like? Well, the key verse there is in verse 22. He says, but don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. I heard someone say that there are approximately 900 English translations of the Bible out there today. 900 just in the English language. And I've said before, which is the best translation? And I want to modify a statement that I always say. I say, which is the best translation of the Bible that you can read? And I always say what? The one that you will read, right? But it goes beyond that. The best translation of the Bible is the doer's version, right? And for those of you looking up on Amazon, that doesn't exist. That's just what we do with what we read, right? The best translation of the Bible is what we do with what we read. And so this is what James is saying is like, we're to respond to God's word by doing what it says. And so hearing without action leads to self-deception. And so obedience to God's word brings blessing and transformation. Imagine, or just consider for a moment, Jesus' words. Jesus, in Luke chapter 11, he drives out a demon, and these people are accusing him of doing it by the power of Beelzebub, and he just kind of lines them out there. And then this lady says, "Blessed is your mother who gave birth to you and nursed you." And Jesus responded to her. He says, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it." This is Jesus. And he just said, hey, listen, when you hear the word of God and you obey it, there's a blessing that is attached to that. John 14 and 15, the upper room discourse, he says, if you love me, you will obey what I command. And of course, we can't forget the Sermon on the Mount, how he ends that. One of my favorite passages is the wise and the foolish builders. And he talks about the foolish man building his house on sand without a foundation. The storms come, blow it down. But he said the wise man, he built his house on a solid foundation, on rock. And the storm came, the winds blew, the waters rose, and it stood strong on its foundation. Why? Because it was built on a strong foundation. And then Jesus would interpret that little parable by saying this: those who listen to these teachings of mine and put them into practice are like the wise man who built his house on the rock. Church, do you understand how important it is to not just hear the word of God, but to respond to it as well, to act on it? Not just be a hearer of the word, but do it. One of my favorite quotes of all time is, unapplied truth is like unapplied paint. It doesn't do anyone any good. You can have paint in a bucket and a wall that needs paint, and you can look at it and go, that's going to look beautiful one of these days, but until you crack that open and pull out a brush and start applying it to the wall, it's not doing anybody any good. Make sense? Pretty simple, but that's James's his approach, his style. He's like, this is not theological in nature. It's practical, and this faith that he's calling us to is not just every once in a while, but it's every day of our life. We should be receptive to the word of God, and we should respond to it properly. Notice what he says. Don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. And he says, for if you listen to the word and don't obey it, it's like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. I brought a mirror up here today. And mirrors are brutally honest. Man, I'm getting old. Just imagine, I didn't need that, David. He said amen. But he's older, so there's that. But I'm getting ready for a hot date, you know. We're young. We're like, oh, it's the woman of my dreams. And we go to the mirror, right? And there was a study that said that men actually look at mirrors more than women. So there's that. That's kind of weird, but I thought it was kind of cool. So we look. Do we have any bats in the cave? Make sure that's all cool, clear. Make sure there's no zits that have showed up overnight. Make sure I don't have any of those eye boogers in my eyes. And what James is saying is like, when we listen to the word and we go away without obeying it, it's like we've looked in the mirror and we see something that's out of place. Oh, wow, there's a big booger hanging out of my nose right now. Not really. Huh, oh well, and we turn around and walk off, right? No, the purpose of the mirror is to reflect what, you know, it's showing us the real us, and it's giving us an opportunity to respond to it. It's hopefully causing us to jump into action and do something about what we see in the mirror. Does that make sense? I mean, if my buttons were misbuttoned, right, I look in the mirror like, oh, wow, I'm surprised I didn't go on the stage that way. One time I was leading worship, and I led a whole worship set, and I was in a suit, and in those days it was behind a pulpit that was big wood, and my fly was unzipped the whole time. I was mortified. I came out of the pulpit, and Rachel's like, your fly's down. I'm like, huh, what? Maybe if I had looked in the mirror, I'd caught that, right? But I think you get what I'm saying. Like, he's saying that the word of God is like a mirror. And when we look into the mirror, it exposes those things in our life that are out of place. Hey, Shane, there's a big spiritual booger hanging off your face. Hey, Shane, your shirt is spiritually wrinkled today. Does that make sense? So we're looking into the word like a mirror, and he reveals it. And he says, if we look at that and we see that something's out of place, and then we walk away without doing anything about it, we're deceiving ourselves, we're fooling ourselves. And he said, that's just not good, right? And so knowledge without action is pointless. And so James's point is that we must not just be hearers of the word, but doers of the word. And so let me ask you a question. What is the area in your life today where you need to take immediate action? based on God's word. I said a while ago that we receive his word, and what areas do we need to trust him and hear what he's saying to us on a personal level? But now, like, is there something that we already know his word says, like looking into a mirror, and we need to take a step of obedience? And for some, maybe that's forgiveness. I know what God's word says about forgiveness. He says, you forgive them like I forgave you. Will we choose to exercise obedience in that area? Maybe it's trusting God in anxiety. Like, I am so anxious. Everything seems to be blown up around me. And I need to be reminded of Matthew. It says, what, that we seek God above all things, and then he'll give us what we need. Seek first the kingdom of God. Or what Paul says is, don't be anxious about everything and anything, but in everything, with prayer and supplication, present your request to God. And so maybe for some of us, like, that obedience is like, God, I need to stop being anxious and trust you. Because he's trustworthy, amen? How about choosing purity in a relationship? I know what God's word says, but am I willing to obey its truth in that context? Lord, I know that what I'm doing is not honoring you, and it's time that I make some changes based on what you have shown me in that mirror of your word that I need to do. Or maybe it's integrity at work. Like, I'm in this workplace and nobody's looking, but he says that when we work, we're doing it as though we're doing it for God and not for man. And maybe it's just simply being God's person in the context of work. And so it's integrity there at work. Whatever ways, I mean, there's many ways that I think the Holy Spirit brings to the surface. And nobody's perfect, amen? And we don't perfectly obey, but we struggle towards obedience. Like, God, I want to obey you. I want to do what your word says. I need to have a spirit of responsiveness when it comes to your word. So I need to be receptive. Like, I'm receiving your word. I'm responding to it in a proper way, in obedience. And lastly, this one is a big one because it goes beyond just Sunday. It's just have a lifestyle of resignation. And resignation just simply means an accepting or an unresisting attitude, state, or position. It means submission. And in this context, we're talking about God's word. How many know God's word is the ultimate authority? God, I know what you say, but here's what I think. I mean, really? Are we going to play that with God? His word is the ultimate authority. He's the one that holds the keys. He's the one that has the power. He's the one that speaks, and we should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to be angry, and say, God, what are you telling me? And we should resign ourselves to the fact that this is the ultimate authority in our lives. And if we don't want to yield to it now, one day we'll be held accountable to it when Christ returns. And so I would say have a spirit of resignation when it comes to our response to the word of God. It just means simply submitting to God's word as the final authority of our life. Now, he uses the word religion. He said, if you claim to be religious, that word is threskos, and it means ethical requirements or living according to a certain standard. Like, hey, I'm in a church, I'm a Christian, so I live according to this standard, right? This principle of ethics. It's the code that I live by because I'm religious. And so he's saying, if anyone claims to be like a part of that, religious, but don't control your tongue, you're only fooling yourself and your religion is worthless. This is James, the half-brother of Jesus, saying that kind of religion that says one thing but does another one is a worthless religion. And then he uses the word religion twice here, threskia, and it simply means worship. So consider how we worship this God that's worthy of worship. And he says, and your religion is worthless. Pure and genuine religion. Pure and genuine worship in the sight of God, the Father, means caring for orphans and widows. This was in their immediate context, and I believe it applies even today. Caring for orphans and widows in their distress and refusing to let the world corrupt you. So what does that look like whenever you're resigning to the word of God as the final authority? It's demonstrated in practical love. It's demonstrated in just how we treat and respond to other people, how we view other people, but it's also demonstrated in personal holiness. It means that we're willing to grow and be conformed to the image of Christ, to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. And so we resign ourselves that, God, your word is the final authority. And that, my friends, is how we should react to God's word, that we're quick to receive it, that we respond in an obedient way, and that we just resign ourselves to not just on Sunday mornings, but Monday through Saturday, in the work context, in the friend group context, in your hobby context, in the middle of conflict, in the middle of divorce, in the middle of financial ruin, in the middle of sickness. I could go on and on and on, but in that context, I'm resigned to this fact, God, that your word is the ultimate authority, and I want to live my life according to what you tell me to do. Amen? This is what James is showing us. He's like, this is what real faith looks like. This is what an everyday faith that obeys looks like. It's not just on a Sunday morning, but it's an everyday part of your life. And this is the kind of faith that is an effective faith. John, in his first epistle, would say this, and we can be sure that we know him if we obey his commandments. Like, do you need assurance today? He's like, you can be sure that you know him if you obey his commandments. If someone claims, I know God, but doesn't obey God's commandments, that person is a liar and not living in the truth. But those who obey God's word truly show how completely they love him. That is how we know we are living in him. Those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. And so we understand that the word of God is the final authority, and our response is just to yield to that authority. How many of you use GPS, right? You punch in an address and you let it take you. You're yielding to an authority. You're yielding to some device to lead you into the right destination. Resisting that authority in that context only leads to getting lost, right? I think I know the way. Let me take a left instead of a right. And before you know it, you're like, man, I am totally, totally lost. What are the dangers of ignoring counsel? Well, think of a mechanic who says, hey, there's a weird noise going on in your car. You really need to get it in soon. We need to look at it. Like, nah, it'll be fine. And then something worse happens, costing you a whole lot more money. Or that doctor's counsel, hey, listen, this is what we know. This is what's going on. And if you don't fix this soon, you're going to be in a world of hurt. I had that counsel and conversation with my doctor a while back. I'm like, you got my attention. It's been like 6 months since I had a Dr. Pepper. I'm just saying that, and I really miss it a lot. But I'm willing, because I respect my doctor and what he told me. And so the idea is we're yielding to the authority, and we should yield to the authority of God's word. So let me ask you a question. Are you fully surrendered to God's word in both love for others and your holiness in daily living? Spiritual growth comes from being receptive to the word, responding with action, and resigning to its authority. And so this everyday faith, this faith that obeys, can I challenge you and myself to examine these areas in my life? Where are we accepting, acting on, and abiding by God's word? How are we doing that this week in a new year? Like that mirror that reflects the real us, the word of God reflects truth, but only by responding and surrendering can we see the transformation. And that's what God's all about, is transformation. Amen? And that's James's whole purpose. This is a faith that shows up every day of our lives and not just on Sunday. So I'm asking you a question, just to challenge each one of us this week. Why don't we get bold and say, God, all right, listen, I heard what you said today through the message, and I'm going to ask you to reveal to me just one specific area in my life where you're calling me to take a step of obedience today. That's pretty radical, isn't it? And like, I really don't want to ask that because I know what he's going to ask me to do. But why don't we get bold and say, God, I'm asking you to show me one specific area this week that you're calling me to an act of obedience. And we just imagine what that would look like if we took that seriously and we listened to his counsel and we followed his counsel and we took a step in the right direction towards obedience, what kind of an impact that would have in our lives and the lives of the people around us. God's word is powerful. It is the final authority, and it is worthy of our willingness to receive it. It's worthy of our willingness to respond in the affirmative by obeying, and it is absolutely worthy of us completely yielding to and saying, God, I resign myself to the fact that you're God and I'm not. Your word is authoritative and holy and I'm not. So I want your word to have the final say in my life on Monday when I go to work, at line at Walmart, in traffic on I-27, right, in the midst of construction, in the middle of that debate with whoever you get into debates with, in the middle of that argument with my spouse, in the middle of this cancer diagnosis, in the middle of this anxiety, this financial situation, in the middle of all of this. Did I cover everything? I'm sure there's other areas that I missed, but I think you get the drift, right? In that context, help me, God, to surrender to your word as the final authority, the final say-so in my life for his glory. Amen? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. It truly is a gift. Your word is alive. It's powerful. It's life-changing and transforming. And today, Lord, I just ask that our hearts will be receptive to your truth, that we would be willing to receive it like a good fertile soil receiving the seed. I pray that you give us a willingness to respond to you and to your word in obedience and the humility to resign ourselves fully to your authority. Help us, Lord, to not only hear your word, but to be doers of your word, to live it out in every day of our lives. I pray that our actions would reflect your love and your truth, bringing glory to you and making a difference in the world around us, in our families, in our churches, in our communities, in our schools. Lord, I pray that you would strengthen us to walk in faith that obeys, trusting you every step of the way. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.